Amen? As I said, there's lots of needs among us, but we're going to focus again this morning on how to live and respond in the conditions we find ourselves in. Our society, and it's not just our society, it's really the whole world, is in collapse. That's really what you see happening, is how society's collapsed. The underpinnings are being removed, values are being destroyed. The whole world over is experiencing this at the same time. The weight of sin and the weight of false ideas has us circling the drain in about every category that you can imagine. Our health, our security, our economy, our freedoms, our way of life, all of that's under threat. We also live in an increasingly anti-Christian atmosphere. Don't be fooled. Satan is active. This is still not just a battle of ideas. It's not just people. It's not even good people versus bad people. The ultimate of this is Satan battling God. That's the ultimate behind this. The forces of evil, led by Satan, battling God and the forces of good. It's easy to despair in such a situation. And if you haven't had thoughts of despair in this, you're either not very well informed or I don't believe you. One of the two. I fear many are despairing in the current situation. Many good people and Christians are despairing. And when they despair, they kind of give up on the situation. And yet the answer that we need depends on those who truly know the Lord. The answer we need, a return to God is the only answer for what ails us. And that's it goes across every sector. It is the only answer for what ails us. A real return to God. And this is a time when those who know the Lord need to rise to the occasion. This is not a time when we can sit back and watch the show. This is not a time we can withdraw to ourselves and think we'll be okay and let the rest of it go down the drain. This is a time when we're called to be the salt. We're called to be the light, right, of the society around us. This is a time when we need to be vessels God can use. I want to study with us this morning, living in adversarial times. Living in adversarial times. As I meditated on this, I think the first priority in living times such as we find ourselves in is keep your commitment to follow God fully. Amen? Keep or renew your commitment to fully follow God. This is not a time to be half in, half out. This is not a time for halfway measures. If, you know, when you come to know the Lord, the only way when we come to know the Lord is to fully commit ourselves to God, right? I mean, we have to say, I'm yours. I give up that which is wrong. I give up me. I beg for your forgiveness. And I turn unto you to follow you. Right? I mean, that's a change. If people don't come to the end themselves and accept God, they ain't really saved. Amen? They may not be religious, but to really be saved, it takes a full commitment to follow God. Now, we don't know everything in that moment. We don't know everything that that means, but we have, for what we do know, we have to be fully committed to follow God, to come into right relationship with Him. But as we live life, there are, you know, we don't have just two motives in life or two or three pressures. We have hundreds of things that motivate us, that we respond to. There's lots of pressures, lots of reasoning. And if we're not careful, our life can be cluttered with a lot of desires other than pleasing God. Not necessarily evil. I'm just talking about a lot of other things. And from time to time, it's good that we look and renew our commitment to following God no matter what. Amen? God needs vessels to work through. If the answer to what ails us is God, then the most important thing we can do is maintain a vibrant and real relationship with Him, fully committed to do what He asks us to do. Because God works through people. That's how, you know, we say, God, come, we need you, show up on the scene, do something. How has God ever worked in history? How does God work in history? Does He not find souls who respond to Him to deliver His message, to do what He calls them to do? Is that not how God's always responded? Therefore, if we really are sincere in saying, God, we need you to help, then we need to be sincere about being a vessel through whom God can work to bring that help. Amen? And I feel the same thing you do. I feel a lot of times the temptation just to withdraw. I tell you what, I was in North Carolina and Tennessee, and some of those hills, it would be very appealing to me to find a section of that where there's no people and just stay there. Maybe my family, that most of them might be okay. But just stay there. Amen? Just to withdraw. But that's not our calling.
Right.
That's also a temptation just to withdraw into our little group. That's not our calling.
Right.
If we want to see society affected, if we want to see God's work advance, then we're called to be engaged. And if we want to see God move, we need to be available, useful vessels, and that's attained by maintaining a full commitment to Him. Remember Daniel? Well, of course you do. What was different about Daniel? What was different? Where do we first see Daniel? What introduces us to Daniel? When he was first chapter, when he was carried off as a young man into Babylon. Now, the Babylonians were not good. They came in, destroyed, they killed a bunch, but they kept the best. Amen. Those of good bloodlines, they kept the best. And Daniel had been carried away, more than likely had been made a eunuch at this point, because that's how the Babylonians dealt with their rulers to keep things orderly. In a strange land, away from his people, being taught the ways of the Chaldeans for the purpose of becoming a leader among them, by the way. But we're introduced to the first chapter of Daniel, 8th verse. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I won't go into all this because most of you know it, but as a Hebrew, he had a set thou shalt and thou shalt not in his dietary too, because God had commanded clean and unclean. And what he was being presented to eat didn't fall in that category. Now, this was food direct from the king's table. This is the same food the king ate. So, refusing that as a foreigner in this conquering king's land was a great risk, right? I mean, a great risk of offending him. But Daniel had committed in his heart that he wouldn't defile himself. Even though he had been carried away, even though his future looked to be as a Chaldean, and by the way, Daniel did stay in Babylon for his entire life and was a ruler in Babylon until the day he died. So, I mean, that was his future. But even though that was his future, Daniel purposed that he would not defile himself. Daniel maintained his commitment to God. How easy would it have been for him to justify eating whatever they gave him? My guess is that 98% of Christians today would have justified it and went that way. My guess is that most all of the other young men, because we only have a few mentioned, accommodated themselves to that practice. But Daniel stood out and was used of God because he maintained his commitment. Remember Joseph? Joseph was greatly used of God to save his people and create the nation Israel. They were a nomadic tribe wandering around with a few sheep and goats before Joseph went to Egypt. Now how did Joseph get to Egypt? His brothers hated him enough, they sold him into slavery. He went down as a slave in Potiphar's house, right? Amen? Genesis 39:6. Then Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread to eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, well favored. And it came to pass after these things, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused, and said to his master's wife, behold, my master, what if not what is with me in the house? He's committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph had been sold into slavery, but God blessed him, and he had risen to prominence. He was the manager of this man's whole household. He said the man didn't even know. He didn't worry. He just knew he had food in front of him, didn't worry about the rest of it, because he trusted everything to Joseph. And here came a temptation. You know what? Joseph had to be disappointed to be an Egyptian down in this Egyptian house away from his dad and family. Had to be greatly disappointed that his brothers turned on him and sold him into slavery. And when disappointments come, it's real easy to let our integrity down and our life of holiness slip. You know it and I know it, because it's easy to give in and please ourselves when we feel like life hasn't treated us fair. Can you say amen to that? We all know that. We all feel when we feel life ain't treated us fair, it's easy to give in and please ourselves. Amen? But Joseph maintains his integrity because of his commitment to God. In spite of all that had happened, and I'm sure he could not at this point reason in his mind at all why God allowed this to happen, yet he maintained his trust and confidence in God. Both of these were young men, Joseph and Daniel. Both of these young men would have had ample reason to doubt God and to forsake Him. Amen? But they maintained their commitment. To forsake God, to wound our conscience or fall into sin, may keep us from ever seeing the plan that God has for us. Amen? God has a plan. God does have a plan. Amen? In spite of everything looking like it's out of control, in spite of everything circling the drain, God does have a plan. And God is executing that plan. It is on schedule. Nothing surprised Him. Nothing's derailed Him. There isn't some... He didn't say, well, that didn't work, so we'll reserve it for a future time, as some teach. No, God's still on schedule for where He was before He created the world. Everything is on schedule. I don't mean God's pleased with everything. That ain't far from pleased with everything. But He knows, and it's right on schedule. And we don't always see God's plan, right? Isaiah 55 and 8 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." That's hard to see sometimes, right? God has a plan for this world. He's establishing His kingdom. He's saving all that He can save. Amen? And sometimes it looks like the world's completely out of control. But God's still accomplishing His plan. God has a plan for your life. Now, we may or may not be able to comprehend God's plan for our life. Joseph didn't have no clue what's going on as far as what God was doing with his life, right? And most people that God used didn't have no clue how this was going to work out, how God was working this for good. In the midst of trouble, we got to continue to trust God. We got to maintain our commitment to God, but we also have to maintain our confidence in God. Amen? We're not promised to know everything. God knows everything. But we're not promised to know everything. In fact, we're not promised to know much anything sometimes. Amen? We're promised that God's in control and that God loves us and God's accomplishing His plan, and therefore we are to trust Him. We're not promised we can see the end from the beginning, but we trust God can. Amen? But we are promised this. All things work together for good to those who love God. We know, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Follow God even though you may not be able to see what He's doing. Maintain your commitment. But maintain your confidence that God is working as well. Amen? I never was in a marching band. Anybody in here ever in a marching band? Brother Jeff, okay, we got a few. Well, in a marching band, I like... Ohio State's band 10 years ago was terrific. But I like to watch when the band really gets it right in their formations. Amen? But you know what? Those people marching on the field don't ever see that formation. They can't see that. All they see is the person in front of them's back. And they have to trust that if they do what they know they're supposed to, so many steps, go this way, turn here, do that, they have to trust that it is presenting the picture and accomplishing what they collectively plan to accomplish. And there's a lot of times in our life we don't see nothing but what's right in front of our face, right? We can't see how God's orchestrating things. We can't see what God's working to do. But we need to trust Him to do what He asks us to do, then with a confidence that He will use that to accomplish that which He intended to accomplish. Amen? You may not live long enough to ever fully see your part in God's great plan. Amen? We may never see that. But continue faithful. The work that God plans to do through you may not yet be obvious. Continue faithful. Do what you know to do. Do what the next right thing. Amen? Maintain your confidence in God that He will accomplish what is needed. Maintain your confidence in God even if it don't work out the way you wanted it to work out. Remember Job? Went from being the most blessed man on the face of the earth to losing everything, being criticized by his wife and his friends. All the rest of his family is dead. Amen. And in torment, physical pain, because you know he's in physical pain because God allowed Satan to afflict him. Satan put on him what he considered the most painful thing, right? What did he say, though? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He had no clue what was going on. He said he went forward, couldn't find him, looked on both sides and behind, couldn't perceive him. But he said, God knows right where I'm at. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know what? Satan's going to scream in every situation, God's abandoned you. This is all wrong. Doom and despair is ahead. Gloom's ahead. Satan's going to scream that about everything. But maintain your confidence in God. What about three Hebrew children? Those that are there with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were also mentioned with Daniel as being fully committed. Amen. And we find, I don't know where Daniel was at, but we find those three later. When they're faced with the prospect of disobeying God by worshiping a false idol. Therefore, this is Daniel 3 and 8. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, and they spake and said unto King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, or worship the golden image which I set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace, and who is that God that will deliver you out of my hands? This part I wanted to get to. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we'll not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a definite confidence God could deliver them out of the furnace. But they weren't. They said, "We're not going to mince around, dance around this question. We're just going to answer you straight up. God's able to deliver us, but whether He does or not, we're not going to bow." They had a confidence in God that He could deliver them. God honored that and did deliver them. Amen. They had a confidence that God could deliver them, but they had a commitment that they're going to do what's right, whether He did or not. You understand that? That we can live life with the confidence in God that He's going to do what He ought to do. He can deliver us, or we can take us through it, or we can go home to be with Him, whatever the outcome. But no matter what, we are going to maintain our commitment to follow Him fully. Amen? In the day and time in which we live, we need people who are fully committed. And why not you? Why not you? Why should it be somebody else and not you? God's not always used the smartest. He's not always used the strongest. He's not always used the richest. He's not always used the ones that could speak the best. Amen? Now, He's used some that were eloquent, some that were rich, some that were strong, some that were of influence. But He isn't restricted to that. In fact, God usually chooses those outside that so the power and glory be His. Amen?
Right.
Step one, I hope you get this. I know I've labored it a while. But we need to maintain our commitment to follow God no matter what. And then, having committed to follow God no matter what, continue to live your life. Amen? We can't stop living life. Continue to live life. Continue to pursue goals. Continue to pursue careers. Continue to live your life. Make the most of the situation you find yourself in. Amen? Mom often said, bloom where you're planted. Amen? A flower don't have any choice in where it's planted. But it can still bloom no matter how adverse the situation. Amen? Bloom where you didn't have a choice what decade you're born in. You don't have a choice when you live. You don't have a choice in the society in which you live. This is the hand that we've been dealt. This is providentially where we find ourselves. Live life. Live life to please God. Continue to live your life. Don't put it on hold out of fear. Don't put it on hold out of fear of the future. Continue to live life. Make the most of your situation you find yourself in. I'm going to go back to Joseph again. What happened with Joseph? He faced a lot of adversity. First, he's thrown in prison. When he's thrown in prison and he was sold as a slave, did he just go sulk and do the minimum like most would have? Like we probably would have? Amen? Feeling sorry for him? No. That was his lot in life at that time. He put himself into it, and God blessed him. And the Lord was with Joseph, Genesis 39:2. And he is a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all over all he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all he did in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and knew not aught he had save the bread in which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Joseph put himself in and God added the blessing. God can bless us even in times of adversity. Amen. If our heart is fully committed to following God, if we're in purposing to please God, we can continue to live life and God's able to bless us. Amen. When Joseph, after being falsely accused in Potiphar's house, was thrown into prison, what happened there? Same thing, doesn't it? You don't think Joseph didn't have a good attitude? Amen. Joseph had to have had a good outlook and attitude. 39:21, and the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed in Joseph's hand all the prisoners in the prison. Whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Hey, it had been easy for Joseph just to survive, withdraw, get by, right? But he made the best of the situation. If he was going to be a slave in Potiphar's house, hey, he put himself into it, asked for God's blessing, did the best he knew how to do. When he was in prison, God was still with him. Amen? And he did the best he knew to do in that situation. You can still have the blessing and the presence of God with you in the midst of disappointment and adversity. We need that truth. Amen? We're living in a time of adversity, maybe disappointment too, but we're living that. But God's blessing can still be on us. God's presence can still be with us. Amen? In every walk of life, continue to live life. Joseph didn't allow himself to wallow in discouragement and disappointment. Amen? He continued to live forward, continued to press forward, continued to live toward the future and do the best he knew how in the situation he was in and trust God for his help. You know, a lot of times in life, how we face life is more important than what we face in life. Amen? Guard your attitude. Maintain your hope. Maintain your commitment to God. Continue to live with a hope for the future. Amen? Even in Babylon, they were instructed to live with a hope for the future. Jeremiah 29:4, and the Lord of hosts, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, not diminished. Seek the peace of the city whereat I caused you to be carried away captive. Pray unto the Lord for it, for the peace, in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Now he's saying, get on with life. Yes, you are in Babylon, you've been exiled, it's a punishment for me, but get on with life. Amen. Continue to trust. Make the best of the situation. I would encourage you, focus on your family. Nothing is more important than helping them really know God. Nothing's more important to their future. Nothing's more important to the future of the church. Nothing's more important to the future of our country than people really knowing God. And most knowledge of God is passed down through families. There's exceptions. But the majority is passed down through families. Amen? Churches come and go. Amen? Focus on your family. Why did God call Abraham? You know this. Why did God call Abraham? Because he was infallible? Because he never wavered? No, he tells us, Genesis 18:11, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing that I do, seeing that Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations shall be blessed in him? For I know him. This is God talking about Abraham. He says, I know him, that he'll command his children and his household after him, and they'll keep the way of the Lord, do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he's spoken of. Why did he choose Abraham? Because he's faithful to transmit it to his family. Amen? Continue to work in the kingdom of God. Work in your family. Make sure you are fully committed to God, that you have a vibrant relationship with God so your family can see that it's real. That those closest to you can see that it's real. But continue to work in the kingdom of God. That's our hope. Amen? Don't let setbacks derail us. Amen? Matthew 6:11 says, whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, then depart thee hence, shake off the dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And when they went out and preached that men should repent. Jesus said, go, preach. You come to a city where they reject you, shake the dust off your feet and keep moving. Amen? Because there's more. He said, you're not going to encompass all this before the return of the Son of Man. Amen? If it's unfruitful, leave it. Don't wallow. Hey, I feel that way. I'll be careful how much I say. But I'm telling you what. Shake the dust off and keep going forward. Amen? Work with those whom God allows us to work with. Reach those who are receptive to being reached. Amen? Continue to spread the gospel. Remember, this is our only hope. This is our only hope, that people come to know God. That ought to be primary in our thoughts and our life. It ain't all-encompassing. When you hear on the news what's going on in politics, when you see what's going on in people's health, when you see what's going on in the very fabric of society, what ought to be in our mind is, those people need to know God. They need to know God. Not God strike them dead or God. No, they need to know God. And how do people come to know God? By people who know him, right? Telling them about it. Be committed. Be fully engaged. Be aware of God's presence so you don't miss opportunities. Amen? It ain't about winning the argument. It's about winning hearts and minds. So it's not about charging in and having our say. It's about how can we work with people so they can come to know God like we come to know God. Amen? Acts 8:1, and Paul was consenting unto Stephen's death. And at that time, there's a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every home, hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, there's a persecution led by Saul, who became Paul the Apostle. But at that time, they martyred Stephen, had him stoned to death, and persecuted Paul. They went into houses, drugged men, women, and children out, took their goods, put them in prison. I mean, they went persecuting, so much so that all the saints were scattered abroad, except the apostles. But I really like verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And they've just been thrown out of their homes. They've been driven away. Persecution come. What'd they do? They left, scattered, but everywhere they went, they're still talking about God. Still talking about this great salvation. Amen? Not only do we need to proclaim the word to those that don't know God, we need the encouragement of one another. Malachi was written at a low point in Old Testament Israel's history. And I pick up just this verse out of 3rd chapter, verse 16. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And that day that I make up my jewels, I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Took note. What were they doing? They spake off to one another. Why did they speak off to one another? To encourage one another. They encouraged one another. And God took note of that. And he said, "These are my special possession." He said, "Jewels that I'll make up my crown." But what he meant was, they're special to me. I'll take care of them. Amen?
Yeah.
I just stirred a little bit this morning. These times that we find ourselves in ought to cause us to redouble our attention to the things of God. We all got things we're going through personally. If COVID didn't exist, if all the other stupidity wasn't taking place in our society, if everything was sailing along fine, we all got enough personal things to deal with in life, right? But whether it be in your personal life or at large, these times need us to double check, make sure, redouble our commitment to God, our confidence in God, and our efforts in the kingdom of God. Renew your commitment to God. If you find it shaken, renew your commitment to God and to His work. Not to a church, not to a particular, but where God directs you to work in His kingdom. Keep your confidence in God. He's still God. It's still His world. He's still working His plan. And then focus on furthering the kingdom of God, furthering the gospel of God, one heart at a time. Focus on those closest to you. That's why I say focus on your family. Focus on those that you have influence with, but spread the gospel. And at the same time, maintain the fellowship of the body. We need each other. In fact, the body of Christ is not effective without all of us. Amen? Amen? The body of Christ needs arms, the legs, the feet, the toes, the hands, the head, the mouth, the ears, the eyes. It needs all. Amen? The body of Christ is not very effective sometimes because it's short so many parts and pieces. But the more parts and pieces that are functioning in the body, the more effective the body is. So maintain the fellowship of God's body, Christ's body. Maintain the fellowship of fellow believers. Encourage one another. I hope the fearful times that we find ourselves in doesn't cause us to give up in despair. My hope is instead it causes us as heroes of the Bible in the past to be challenged to rise to the occasion. As Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Amen? Why not you? Well, I know you got a whole list. But if you read the Bible, those things that you think are excuses, Moses couldn't talk, right? Moses said, I can't, I don't know if he had a stutter or what, but he said, I'm not plain of speech. And God said, well, I could fix that, but you're going to doubt? We'll just send Aaron with you. He can talk. Amen? Hey, God's able to do with a willing vessel whatever He commits to do. Let's be willing to do our part, committed to Him. I challenge us, instead of shrinking in the face of this thing, that we would redouble our efforts and to commit ourselves to moving forward. Amen? May God help you. As you stand, we close the verses song.